Hello there, Star Wars fans, and welcome back to the Dark Side. Today was an awesome day in Star Wars history. Tonight we are celebrating not only May the 4th, Star Wars Day, but we're also celebrating the ending of a legendary show, probably one of the greatest shows that has ever been made, in my personal opinion. Obviously, I'm biased because I'm a Star Wars nerd, but we're celebrating that today, and I am hosting my brother FYLL, Phil, here today. Say hello.
Hola.
Well, we're gonna be breaking down the Clone Wars episode today, victory and death, and just the emotions, just how it feels and how it fits into the Star Wars mythos, and our personal thoughts in it, and how it connects to our faith, and so on. But before we do that, we're gonna open up with our opening prayer, and we'll jump right into it. So, Father God, we come before your throne in the name of your Son Jesus, and we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for a really fun American holiday that is Star Wars Day. We always have to come up with something to celebrate every day here in America, but we thank you for this one. It's a good one. We thank you for George Lucas and for the ideas you've given him to make really good, entertaining shows. And for Dave Filoni and everybody working at LucasArts right now, we just ask you to bless them and just bless their lives and bless everybody listening to this podcast who's stuck in their homes in quarantine. We ask you, Lord, just to use us today to help inspire others and bring people closer to you and bring back joy back to Star Wars. We ask you just to use our voices and our platform to just help the lonely and depressed and let them know that you love them and that you're there with them. And we ask you just to embrace those in this time of quarantine and for blessing this podcast. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Amen.
All right, so victory and death. What are your thoughts, Phil?
Oh, dude, that was so emotional. I can't even describe. It
Yeah.
honestly feels, yeah, probably maybe not to the extent, just because of the magnitude that Endgame was,
Yeah.
but it's on that same type of realm.
This was on more than Marvel movies, though. Like, Marvel movies were a staple in a lot of people's lives, but anybody who's a fan of both Marvel and Star Wars, I mean, this was on more frequent
Not
than.
really. I mean, yes and no. Yes, there it went on for 7 seasons, but there was a large chunk in there where there wasn't
Oh,
anything
that's
Marvel
true.
was
That's
still
a fair point.
talking
That's a
about.
fair point. But still, I mean, like, it still feels like super intense. Like, a lot of people just felt like the previous episode with Shattered in Order 66, that was rough to watch. I mean, that was probably more painful than this one, but there's sometimes when you watch Clone Wars, like, for example, like the Umbara story arc or Leia Grievous with Kit Fisto, or just the Mortis story arc, or just to name a couple. I mean, I know some people really like the Darth Maul storylines and the Mandalorian storylines or anything with Ahsoka, Or for me, anything with Rex in it, like you watch it, you're like, I gotta watch this again. This was so good. And this, you just kind of sit there going, whoa. And you kind of sit there and you have to let it process for a while. Because, like, I remember we stayed up like till midnight to watch this episode because we were like, we gotta watch it. And it was so good. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna break down first couple things here a little bit and kind of go through it. But so what it opens up with is you have Ahsoka and Rex right where they were the last episode in the medical bay, and but it starts off from the other side of the door. So we got the clones like taking lasers or whatever they're doing to.
Which was a really cool shot. I mean, if you could, because it starts down the hall and then shows clones coming in and then them working on the door and then it transitions into the medical bay, which was really cool.
Yeah, and like today I just recently watched another video. Shout out to Star Wars Theory. Guys, go
Oh,
watch
the
him.
legend.
Like he breaks it down in such a cool way and like really kind of gave perspective on a lot of things, like with Rex that I'll jump into a little bit. I'll just kind of repeat his thoughts and give him credit where credit is due right here right now. And just so you know, guys, I haven't done this yet, but it is a spoiler warning for Victory and Death. So if you have not watched it, watch it now. Stop listening to me. Watch it now because you haven't learned anything yet. So, but what was really interesting was that, like, Rex is ready to go now, and he says to Sokka, "What are you gonna do?" Because he just shot like what, four clones already, and just to protect her. And then like you break it down and you look at it, and he's like, "All right, what are we doing?" Because he's a soldier. He's got the next thing. He's got to do the next thing. And Ahsoka says, "Well, I'm not blaming them. I'm not killing them. It's not their fault for Order 66 because she figured out the inhibitor chip because of Rex and Fives. We've established that in the previous episode." So she's like, "All
Rip
right."
to Fives, by the way. I always shout out to him every time because he's my favorite clone.
Yeah,
Well,
Fives.
him and Rex. I mean, it's for different reasons, but.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like, for example, like if you have a sibling, like you tell the story, you have to tell one with the other. Like that's how it works. And it's one of those things. Like, yes, he was close to Cody. But that's because they work together so long. Like, for example, if like I work with somebody and then we become really good friends, that's different than somebody who, like, I consider a brother, mm-hmm. because that's how Rex and Fives work. Yeah. Like, they are so incredibly close.
Well, that whole Umbara story arc just shows that, which we didn't really see with Cody and Rex.
Yeah, well, which I would have liked to see. I would have liked to see that, but...
There's a lot of, like, little story arcs I really wanted to see in this season that we didn't get to see.
Yeah, and we can talk about that when we get to a little bit later, but... It was just really cool because, like, they went and they really connected everything with Fives. Like, everything that's in Clone Wars is significant in this story arc, and it was really, really good because now Ahsoka, not only Rex, but now Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. And Ahsoka's not going to kill any clones. Like, and we saw that from the beginning. Like, as soon as Order 66 goes off, she just deflected the blaster bolts and, like, cut blasters in half and used the Force on people. She never killed them, which I highly...
No, she kills the first two clones that shoot at her. Right, well, out of deflection.
She never stabs, never lashes out, or anything else like that. Because, like,
I actually have a theory about that. I think that might be why she survived and some other Jedi didn't.
Yeah, elaborate on that.
Just because of the compassion and that side of the Jedi that they're supposed to be known for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've strawn so much away from that because of the war that...
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of Sidious's plan.
Well, yes, and I think that's part of the reason why they had to do the... Even with how boring and... I don't want to say bad, but not nearly as good, very, very low, and especially in Clone Wars standards of the four previous episodes.
With the sisters?
Yeah, with the sisters. But yeah. You see why she is the way she is again, and she looks at it more from the original Jedi with compassion and different things in that sense instead of just a soldier, like she says happens to her.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool that she says that. She says, no, we're not going to kill him, and I think that might be one of the reasons why they survived.
Well, yeah.
But it's not confirmed. That's just a little thing of when we first originally watched it.
Yeah. Well, be that as it may, you know, she tells Rex, she says, set your blasters to stun. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. All right, ready on my mark. And, like, the clones finish, like, cutting the door, and she uses the Force to push out the door. And she deflects blaster fire away, not just in any direction, just away from the clones, away from her. Rex uses his... pistols set to stun, and he says, hey, you know, keep it, like, did you realize the Maul escaped? She goes, she didn't escape, I let him out. He's like, wait, why? And she goes, diversion. And she's like, come on. He's like, well, that's one way to put it. Yeah. You know, because Rex knows that Sith are nobody to mess around with. He knows that Sith are not good.
Well, and they went through all that just to get him. Why let him free her?
Exactly. And, you know, like, Maul is a bad dude. Like, he's a cool dude, but he's a bad dude. And so, like, and Rex knows this, so he's kind of like, okay. And so, speaking of Maul, it shows him, like, just wreaking havoc. And
the previous episode.
Yeah, just like the previous episode. Like, he used the Force to get a gauntlet from a clone by getting his arm stuck inside a door and getting it lopped off. So he takes that and uses it to go ahead and figure out where everybody is. And so they're like, all right, where's CT-7567? Where's Commander Rex? And... you hear this other clone going, okay, this is what we're going to do. I want everybody here. I want this happening. And they're like, all right, yes, Lieutenant. And you go, oh, okay, it's just some random guy. And it's going to be revealed here pretty soon, and it's really gut-wrenching. Because Maul figures that out, and then he goes to the hyperdrive chamber, basically, and uses the Force to literally obliterate it completely. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, why would you... What is the point? I'm like, what are you doing?
No, he's just trying to, like Ahsoka says, wreak havoc and... destroy everything so
chaos
that,
and all that,
so that he can get away easier.
Yeah, and so we get to that point, and it was like it's nuts because, like, the ship is just forced out of orbit, and they were hovering right over a moon, and then they're getting pulled in the moon's gravitational pull, and so they get to the basically to the hangar bay cockpit, and they're like, all right, this is what's going down, and they're like, all right, let's find the shuttle. All right, awesome. They had the droids, R7, who's Ahsoka's personal droid, and Cheep, who is voiced by Dave Filoni. I thought that was kind of cool, just like Chopper, mm-hmm. you know. And I thought that it's kind of funny because, you know, Cheap Chop, you know, like I said last episode. But either way, it was still really cool. And then Chi-Chi, the other droid, they help them and go with them to help stop the clones doing what they're doing. And they get to the cockpit, and Rex is there talking with Ahsoka. And Ahsoka's like, all right, there's the ship. Open up the hangar bay doors. And it was a really cool shot because they look up and here's this giant, like, ice-looking moon. And you're just like, dang. And, like, they're like, we're caught in the pull. And then, like, you get caught back to the bridge and you have the other different, basically, clone officers talking. And they're like, oh my gosh, all right, we're in the atmosphere. We can do this. No, we're going to explode. And, like, the whole ship just starts falling apart. And you're just like, oh gosh. But before, I think that may have happened a little bit later. But either way, we get to this point, and Ahsoka's like, all right, let's open the doors. All right, there's the ship. And then as the doors open, you see where all the clones went. Like, there's a reason it was so easy for them to get there. And then all of a sudden, like, you see regular, like, clones with no armor. You see...
No paint, no pattern, no...
Yeah, sorry. White clones. And then you see some from the 501st, some from the 332nd, or the Tano Troopers. And then the one who's leading them is none other than Jesse, who is the ARC Trooper who we have also followed since season, what, 2, 3? You know, he's been around longer than Fives. Well... Probably about just as long as Fives, but he's been part of the
Fives was in like one of the first episodes of season 1, bro. He was in Rookies.
Remember? Oh, that's right. But we didn't really follow Fives in the 501st until after Jesse was already established. So Jesse has been part of the 501st according to what episodes came out first, excuse me, you know, for as long as we watched the show. Like, if you go back to like season 2, when they're going to hunt down Grievous, like, he was the one who saved Rex from commando droids along with Hard Case and Kix, and he takes over Rex's command when Rex is injured. And it's one of those things that when you follow this clone, he also, like, Jesse followed Fives even, like, in the Umbara arc. Like, he just does what Fives does, and, you know,
he's one of the free thinking clones that makes it so much more personal, that they really showed that clones are people and they can free think, and it's,
yes,
it's really cool. And then just the chip just took him over and he didn't have a choice. He didn't have any other, that's just, yeah, what they were doing. And it just,
and so you awkward. See him pacing back and forth waiting, because he tells everybody, all right, man, he says, all right, once they come out here, they're not going to be able to escape in any way, because he thinks Rex is helping Ahsoka. And why wouldn't he? I mean, like, they've been so close. And so, and we know that Rex's inhibitor chip has been taken out. And then, like, Rex is standing there and goes, what's our next move? Are we going to go out fighting? Fight our way to the ship? She's like, Ahsoka says, Rex, they're all good. So you're good soldiers. And so are those men down there.
And Rex is crying.
Rex, that was so hardcore, because I noticed this. He really acts his age, because in biologically he may be 24, but in actual reality he's 12. You know, maybe 13. It's like 26 or 24, 12, 13.
Yeah, I don't think that's part of the reason why he was crying, but that's
no. But like, you can kind of see it, because you see how he's crying, and like, because he tells Ahsoka, he's like, that's great, but my brothers, those men down there, my brothers are ready to kill you, or like, they're ready to kill us and go down to the ship, and they don't care. Like, they will take us with them and do their duty. Like, they don't even care at all. And Ahsoka takes off his helmet. She's like, I'm not killing them. And like, you just see him crying, because he cares about Ahsoka so much. And this is what I want to bring up from Star Wars Theory, because he said, like, Rex cares about Ahsoka so much that he, like, fought the inhibitor chip as long as he could to get by her that buffer time. And which no other Jedi did. Like, none. Like, Obi-Wan, it was, like, yes, the reason why Obi-Wan survived, because he's the original trilogy, but, like, for the sake of saying it, you know, either Cody was kind of sort of fighting it too and intentionally missed, or...
He just said blast him, he didn't control the...
That's true. So, either way, like, it was by mere chance that Obi-Wan survived. Yoda survived because he was able to sense it before it was coming. But that's it. Everybody else had zero clue and were all killed in an instant, but Rex was able to fight it off and buy Ahsoka that time to help him. And now he's standing there going, I'm protecting the one person that I care about that's on here. Like, well, I mean, that's not a clone. And then he's like, and now all my brothers want to kill me and her. And it's just one of those things that you see him crying and you see in this whole thing, you're just like, oh my gosh.
That's
like,
how all of us felt, really.
Really, like when you watch it, that's really how you feel. And like, you never thought that somebody so strong and such a soldier mentality would break down, but it happens in real life. Like, there are times when people just break down, you know, and it's super emotional. You're sitting there going, oh my gosh. And so you see that point, and she gives Rex and Ahsoka are talking, and Ahsoka says, all right, she gives him back his helmet, and she says, all right, I have a plan, don't worry, it's a good one, I think. And so they're like, all right, and she tells the droids, all right, we got to do this. And so the droids go and try to get things taken care of, to get the ship taken care of, or try to stall and get the clones out of the way. And Rex goes and pretends like he's kidnapped Ahsoka. And he walks out there, and Jesse's got his guns on Rex, saying, hey, look, you know, we're supposed to kill her. Why haven't you killed her yet? And Rex goes, well, I don't know if you guys remember or not, but she's not a Jedi. She hasn't been in a long time. And He's like, Jesse goes, yeah, but you yourself said she's in special orders under Darth Sidious to kill her. And Rex is kind of standing there. Like, they didn't show his face, but you can tell that he's in pain. You can tell because he's kind of looking at the ground, and he's like, oh my gosh. And then Ahsoka says, you know, keep stalling a little longer, because out of the corner of her eye, she can see the droids going, no, nothing yet. And so they go, and Rex says, Jesse, we've known each other a long time. He's like, if we don't get this right, it'll be you and I doing it for treason. And Jesse lowers his guns and kind of looks down at the ground, kind of thinking about it. And then he pulls his head and guns back up again, and he's like, Commander Rex, you are going in violation of Order 66. You know, because he even said before, he's like, you execute the orders or I will. And then he says, all right, you're in violation of Order 66, and you're being demoted from the rank of commander and are now a traitor to the Grand Army of the Republic. And then he's like, all right, all men, prepare to fire. And Rex kind of just looks back at Ahsoka and is like, eh, it's okay. I wasn't much of a fan of being a commander anyway. And I was like, that's cool. Because Captain Rex kind of sounds a little bit better than Commander Rex. But then all of a sudden the droids, like, basically make the floor fall through. And they have all the clones fall down. And then...
Well, half of them are still sitting there.
Yeah, so they... And the rest of it is pretty much a good solid 5 minutes of Ahsoka and Rex fighting clones. With Maul escaping and Ahsoka using the Force to stop the ship in midair. And she's like, using the Force. Star Wars Theory mentioned something that, you know, like, it's very similar to Starkiller from The Force Unleashed holding ships in the air in the game. And it was really kind of cool to watch because she's holding it. And this is what I wanted to see. I mentioned this before because in Rebels, Ahsoka goes to help Ezra when Kanan gets blinded and he says, go get Ezra. And Ahsoka kind of leaps up onto the stairs, and Maul says, running away again, Lady Tano. And she goes, if you want to finish our fight, let's finish Kanan first. And I always wondered, because, like, in the book, like, she ran off from, in the middle of a duel with Maul to save Rex from the clones doing Order 66. And so that's completely different now, because the Clone Wars is now finished, so that takes precedence over the book, which I agree. And so, Ahsoka's holding Maul in the shuttle that Maul escaped in, or was attempting to escape in, and she has the opportunity to let him go or save her best friend, or Rex, and she lets him go and runs away to be Rex's shield, basically, because she's deflecting the blaster bolts. Rex's blue shoulder pad gets pierced. Like, the way they did the graphics, I don't know if you thought about this, but, like, the way they did the graphics was so lifelike.
Because, dude, in my opinion, it's the best animated show. Not just story-wise, but animation itself is just superb and incredible.
Because you can see the carbon scoring on Rex's armor. You can see it on Ahsoka's, like, skin and, like, battle dress or whatever you want to call it. And Rex's armor is, like, pierced and battered. And eventually they finally find a Y-wing bomber. And Rex runs and towards it, with clones shooting at both him and Ahsoka, and she uses the Force to launch him into the ship, and then the ship starts to collapse even more. And they go, and Rex detaches and falls out in the ship, and Ahsoka can't be found. And then you're like, well, okay, because if you've seen Rebels, you know both of them survived this. We all know that Ahsoka's still alive. We all know that Rex is still alive. So how is it going to go down? And so Ahsoka is basically gliding through the air and running on debris. And Rex turns on the ship and helps her out. She grabs a hold of the cockpit and gets in. And it transitions to one of the most heartbreaking yet slightly satisfying scenes of the series. Because Rex walks along back to the Y-Wing, and he's got this shovel, and you're like, why does he have a shovel? Like, okay, my initial thought was like, oh, okay, we're going to go ahead, and we're going to show them going off, you know, riding into the sun disk, going undercover, whatever, and they just need that, because he's got a backpack, and he's got all different kinds of stuff, and then...
Yeah, my initial thought, because I couldn't tell it was a shovel first, was, oh, they're gathering supplies from the ship.
Sure.
So that they can move on, yeah.
Sure. And so... They go ahead, and Rex looks back, and he sees Ahsoka very similarly to what she's dressed in the end of Rebels, which is a darker hood, but she's there, and you see all these clone helmets, and you're like, oh. But then you realize the reason why Rex had the shovel is because they found all the bodies of Rex's clone brothers and they buried each and every one of them and put a post or whatever they could find as like the gravestone and put their helmets on it. And like it shows like white helmets, they show 501st helmets, they show Tonto Trooper helmets, and then they focus in on Jesse's helmet. And if you've watched the series, you just like your heart kind of breaks because you're like, yeah, Jesse was a good soldier. He was a free thinking clone, but he eventually did his own version of a duty by doing things with the Empire and served Darth Sidious.
Well, yes and no, because yes, it's the Empire, but he says the Grand Army of the Republic.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're looking at it just from purely the Republic side, like he did his duty. And, but if you're just looking at the grand story, like, it's, you don't want to say he's a jerk, but, like, at the same time, it's kind of a mixture. Like, he's kind of a hybrid between Cody and Rex. I don't know if he's
feeling yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to, yes, was he being a jerk? Yes, but it's also, you know, it's not his fault.
Yeah, and that's the part that you know. Like, you're not mad at anybody. You're just sitting there just, like, so sad because you know Ahsoka and Rex are not going to kill anybody. Mm-hmm. And so, and then in the last moments, like, Ahsoka is looking at her lightsaber, and she's about to let it go, grabs it, and then lets it go to the ground. And I'll let Phil break down the last most intense part of the entire freaking episode.
Oh, it was the perfect way to end the show because it just kind of ends. And you're like, okay, it doesn't really have a transition. You know, usually in Clone Wars and Star Wars in general, they'll show, like, when they're transitioning.
Like a rising sunset with a big theme at the end.
Or, you know, the planet that we're now on or something like that. And it doesn't have that. And you're like, okay, where are we? What's going on? And it's white. And there's snow, and you're like, okay, and then you look, and there's the snowtroopers from episode 5 or Hoth, or however you want to put it. And you're like, okay, what does this mean? Okay, the Empire is obviously established. When is this? What's going on? And then it pans out, and you're like, okay, kind of looks like Hoth. You can see some things in the background and all that kind of stuff, and you're like, okay, where are we? What is going on? I don't understand. And then the stormtroopers turn around, and you hear Darth Vader breathe. And you're like, oh, wow, okay. And he just walks up, and I think it was amazing animation for Darth Vader. I mean, how they did it in Rebels and in this was superb. It does look different, though, because there are different kinds of animation. I think this actually looks a little better, maybe. I kind of have to watch them both and
I feel like they're both equally good. A lot of people debate on which one's better. Like, obviously, Clone Wars is the superior show. We all know this. But, like, when we're looking at, like, the animation, it's different styles. Like, yeah. Phil could draw something different than me. That doesn't mean that my picture's better or that his picture's better or one's worse than the other. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, like we both watched the episode. We were going to compare breakdowns. Like, my breakdown's not going to be better than yours. Yours is not going to be better than mine. Mm-hmm. You know? It's different styles of art. And I feel like both of them are very, very well done.
Oh, I'm not saying they're very well done. It just looks different. And
I agree
with you. But it's cool because you can tell that it's Anakin from the Clone Wars. You know, the body shape, the way his head looks, everything else. You can tell it's Anakin, you know? And he is standing at the front of the ship where all the clone helmets were. And you see a few buried in the snow, but they're not up on the post or pike or whatever you want to say. And he bends over and picks up Ahsoka's lightsaber, kind of wipes it off a little. Turns it on and it's blue, just like how he gave her, and he just kind of stands there, turns it off.
And he sees a bird in the sky, remember?
Yeah, he sees the bird in the sky, which I think is...
It's the
daughter. And he turns it off, turns around, and starts to walk away, and then you just see Darth Vader's reflection in a Tano Trooper's helmet. And that's how the show ends. And it's just, it's so superbly done, just from the throwbacks it had, to the plot holes it fixed, to, especially, you know, when Order 66 happens, one, not only Rex fighting it, but Ahsoka sensing it, because, you know, Anakin is on her mind, and she's saying, and then you hear the original sounds from episode 3, and just the animation, the action, the storytelling, the dialogue, everything was so superb, and I just, it was so amazing, and like I said, it's our childhood ended, you know, that's realistic, that's what yes, with Endgame, it kind of did, but especially here, it's kind of like our childhood, that was the last little bit of our childhood that was still there.
Yeah. Well, and I recall when I said something that I was going to mention what Star Wars Theory said. Like, I really appreciate what he said. He actually kind of cleared up a lot of the questions and feelings I had about this whole arc with Rex and Ahsoka. Because I heard somebody say that the final episode is Rex and Ahsoka at their best, and I fully 100% agree.
Yeah.
But when we're looking at it, he said, you know, he mentioned something about Wolf and Gregor, because Wolf and Gregor join Rex in Rebels. And I would love to see something with that, and we'll get that in here in just a few minutes. But what I wanted to say was what Star Wars Theory said, full credit to him, I'm totally, totally just explaining what I felt when I was listening to his breakdown, because he said that, you know, like, the reason, like, he was crying was because he cared for Ahsoka so much, mm-hmm. and that he was willing, he was ready and willing to kill his brothers to save her.
Yeah.
And that's when you kind of think about, like, you're right, because when he resists the chip, he didn't really fully give in, because he cared about Ahsoka so much that he resisted it. He never betrayed her. He fought the chip as much as he could. Because I sat there and I watched it, I never wanted this type of thing to happen, because it would totally undermine everything we've already established in Rebels. Which was one of my, like, honestly, guys, honest to God, like, the Rebels story arc of Rex is my favorite. One of my favorite things. Like, probably, if not my favorite thing. Just because you see somebody who was programmed to do Order 66, not really do it, and then join the Rebellion. And so when they were like, oh, Rex is going to do Order 66, like, you guys have heard me say it time and time again on this podcast, it's probably, like, going to start a trend or something, like, oh, good Lord, Eric talked about it again. But no, like, the reason why I say it is because I go, like, it's, don't write something that's in the future and then the past make it different. And yes, I know that that the prequels kind of did that, but they kind of didn't at the same time, because people make the argument that, oh, well, Qui-Gon's a perfect example of that in Star Wars. And I go, yes, but, you know, when Obi-Wan says, Yoda trained me, Yoda trained all the Jedi. So yeah, it makes sense.
Yoda trained all the younglings, and then when they were passed on as Padawans to their masters, that's when it changes.
And that just...
Do you see that in episode 2?
Yeah. So, like, it's not like, you know, it's drastic. It's a soft retcon, kind of like this. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if Rebels hadn't come out, I'd be like, this is the perfect way to end the story. Mm-hmm. Absolutely 100%. And so I was sitting here kind of, you know, reflecting on these things with these characters, because what they did with Ahsoka, and like I said on yesterday's podcast, or the last episode we did, just the way they did Ahsoka was so good, because she's the female Star Wars lead that everybody wants.
Oh, yeah.
And deserves.
Yes. Rey. You
know, everybody knows how we feel about Rey. Like,
I would pick Ahsoka over Rey any day. I would honestly probably pick Ahsoka definitely over Padme.
Yeah.
And I still probably pick her over Princess Leia. It's a little bit closer, mm-hmm. just because Princess Leia is a heck of a lot.
She's more iconic, and she's done a whole lot more.
And she's better than the other two, but mm-hmm. I still think, you know, I grew up with Ahsoka, that whole aspect of it, and just, I think she embodies what the Jedi are supposed to be.
Yeah.
In a really good way, just because she has the compassion and all that size of Obi-Wan, but also has, you know, the recklessness, the really cool, you know what, we're gonna get this done, of mm-hmm. Anakin mm-hmm. and everything, and I just mm-hmm. think it's really cool, and I think she does a great job how they portrayed her as a character, all the story arcs they did with her. Granted, when she was first introduced and, you know, in the movie and in the first season of the show, you know, she was a kid, you know, and there's just little mannerisms.
14-year-olds are really kind of annoying.
Yeah.
We all been there. We all were, so.
And it's just kind of like when you think about it, like, I rewatch it and, you know, she calls R2 R2E and just a little things that were nauseating at first. But, you know, as she matured, the more she got older, the more we liked her and the more she did cooler stuff. And she was just so, and she's super powerful with the Force. And I honestly hope that they continue to do stuff with her. I know that she's going to be in The Mandalorian, which I'm really excited about, and I hope that she still gets more screen time and gets an accurate and good ending whenever they decide to finish her story.
Yeah.
But I think it's awesome that she is in a movie. You know, you can hear her voice in The Rise of Skywalker, and just it's so cool that we're finally able to connect a lot of the dots.
Yes.
That we couldn't before, even if, no matter how you feel about the sequels, little things like that make it cool.
Mm-hmm.
I will fight whoever it says that they say the sequels is better than prequels or the originals. I'll fight them all day long, but there's parts of the sequels that I enjoy. So sure. it's and the ending of The Rise of Skywalker with all the Jedi in it is cool. So.
Yes. Well, and one thing, like, with Ahsoka, Star Wars Theory pointed out, like, you talked about how, you know, Ahsoka just holds on to her ideals no matter what. And I think that's something that everybody should hold on to.
Yeah.
Like, in this day and age, like, look at the church. Like, there's lots of opportunities for us to compromise and be like, well, you know, this thing may be okay or this thing may be okay when God says it's not. You know,
yeah.
We got to look back at things. And yes, it's Star Wars. Is it connected to our faith? Absolutely not, unless you want to make a connection in your own mind. But,
well, there's parts of it that you can relate to it.
Yeah,
you
know? And that's what we're saying.
It's not like a Narnia or something right. like that was specifically written to mirror something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's parts of it, you know, we might actually hopefully get him on here at some point, but shout out to Kevin Kalin if he's watching. My friend Kevin, as I said, we were talking about actually Lord of the Rings and how he said that Tolkien didn't specifically write it as a, you know, like a Narnia depiction of the Bible or anything like that. But I said, you know, no matter how you write, you know, your values and how you truly feel and your character and all that really flows through no matter what you're writing. So, you know, I think George Lucas, it really attests to him and how great of a writer he is.
Each episode it says, created by George Lucas.
Well, and everybody involved, obviously, with Star Wars. You can, there's parts of the prequels that I'm sure people don't like that he wrote, but, you know, it is his story. But it's cool that, to know that, you know, I can, you know, as Ben said, how she holds on to her values, you know, I look at it as, you know, the world didn't like Jesus, who are we to be judged, and, you know, who are we to say that we should be accepted by the world, or, you know, whatever, and we have to turn away from the world and look to Jesus. And I think that it's cool that we can kind of relate that. We can say, yes, just like how Ahsoka stood to her values, we need to stand with our values with Jesus. And that's my forte. And
I that's exactly where I was going, and I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. And so, like, and the thing that really, when Star Wars Theory pointed out what Ahsoka means to her Rex, really kind of shaped and kind of was the last piece that I wanted from the Clone Wars for the whole story of Rex and Ahsoka. Because, to be honest, since Revenge of the Sith, I think their stories are the best.
Yeah.
Like, Kanan's awesome. I think he's number three, but on the list of, like, best characters that they've written about. But, like, if you just look at Star Wars as a whole and you have so many characters, I mean, like, especially right now with the series ending, like, Rex and Ahsoka are, like, a huge highlight of the Star Wars mythos and galaxy and everything else like that.
Yep.
But the part that I really, really liked was just the fact that, like, yeah, Rex really didn't betray Ahsoka. Like, yes, the inhibitor chip went off, but he didn't betray her because he was fighting it to ensure that she would have those few seconds to live. Mm-hmm. And although he did not personally take out the chip, like, it would be really cool if he was, because, like, when you think about it, like, if you're in an army that with everybody looks exactly like you, and you're like, you view it all as like you're all twin brothers. Like, oh yeah, it's my brother. You know, like, Phil and I are brothers, but, like, we're not, like, twins. People ask, are you twins? No. But when you think about it, like, when you're, God forbid, like, I know this has happened in life and the history of the world, but, like, if a sibling of a, like, if you have two twins and one of them dies, like, that's traumatic enough, mm-hmm. you know? But when you have, like, to that magnitude, that brotherhood that the clones had, and then them doing something you don't want them to do, and you know it's not their fault, and you want to help them, but you really can't, you know, it's really, really sad and really hard to watch. And so, like, when you're putting yourself in Rex's position, like, the reason why he's crying is because he loves Ahsoka and wants to protect her. And it's heartbreaking for him because he knows what he has to do. And I'm sure the reason why he cares for Ahsoka so much is because of her values, and he wants to be more like her and more like Anakin, because he respects both of their values. And even Obi-Wan, because in Rebels, he wished that Obi-Wan was alive, but Organa confirmed his death, and you could see the sadness on his face. And so, it was just really cool to see that. And then, like, you know, he's basically, like, in his mind, he's the only clone who is like he is. Like, granted, yeah, in the army you have, oh yeah, you know, I'm my own person. Like, yeah, I look like everybody else, I sound like everybody else. Everybody walks, talks like me, you know, quacks like me, waddles like me.
Yeah, but they all have their own cool personalities and they all look different.
Exactly.
They all have different hairstyles or tattoos or whatever.
But now it's even to the next degree where everybody he's cared about, Fives, Jesse, all of his men under his command. You know, there was even a clone that somebody pointed out that, oh, like Riggs, I think, or something. I don't
Riff?
Know. Riff or Rig, something Riggs, something like that. Like, could be a call, shout out to Lethal Weapon, I don't know. But, like, in the very first Clone Wars movie that came out in 2008. August of 2008. And they're there and they're talking and they're showing the drastic change or difference between Jedi and clones. You have Rex and the 501st with Anakin and Ahsoka. And they're there in the ship, and the ship doors close, and it turns red, and the clones are getting their guns ready, and then they're like, oh, Riggs, your comms on static, and goes, oh, got it. And then in the episode previous to this, there's a clone, the same clone, does his helmet design just like Ahsoka's face, facial tattoos, and he gets his head lopped off by Maul with one of the wall pieces that he just used the Force off and used as like a hurling blade. Mm-hmm. And so all these men that Rex has fought with since literally the beginning of the show are dead.
The beginning of their lives.
Yeah, beginning of their lives are dead. He doesn't know where Anakin is. So really, his friendship with Ahsoka is the only part of him that he has. Other than, like, yes, I was a soldier in the Grand Army of the Republic. I'm considered a technical traitor now because I'm doing what's right. You know, and that kind of is a callback to what we talked about before. You know, when people, back in, like, the beginning times of Christianity, even in places across the world, you know, they say, you know, renounce Jesus or die. They say no. You know, when you stand by what you believe no matter what, you know. And that's one beautiful thing about this episode that I found absolutely amazing. And so, you know, when you're looking at that, though, that's the reason why I cried. Like, and when he's done burying his brothers, he's the only one. Like, really, because everybody else doesn't think the same way. And one thing I thought was interesting after watching Star Wars Theory and a couple other breakdowns and watching it again and kind of reflecting on what I watched, you know, when you look at it, clones under Order 66 are able to be reasoned with. Basically, the only thing in their heads is like, oh, we serve Darth Sidious and the Jedi are on equal plane with the Separatists. We're killing everybody. You know, and that's what Sidious wanted. And that's the
One thing that I like, there's, I think, of 12 episode, another season of Clone Wars, which I know they probably won't do, or they'll just make another show or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they showed, you know, what happened to Cody, if he, mm-hmm. you know, that whole thing, how Gregor and Wolf and Rex got together,
that's
what happened to clones in general afterwards, you know, were they allowed to go back to free thinking, or how did they relate to that? Did this more figure it out or something?
Sure.
You know, all different kinds of what happened to Ahsoka, obviously, the build up to Rebels, I think, would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing
it's a 15-year gap.
I'd love to see maybe a couple episodes about Darth Vader searching for Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Or Darth Vader doing stuff immediately after episode 3, because we've never really seen that. And
we've seen it in comic books, but we've never seen it on screen.
That's
what we have.
And so just like little things like that, I think, would be really cool. Maybe showing a little bit more of like what Obi-Wan did when he first got to Tatooine, but also I get we're going to do the show
that's
eventually.
That's a Kenobi show. Also, by the way, newsflash, I found out today on Instagram that Maul will be making an appearance in that show.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
And I think apparently there's been rumors of Jar Jar Binks too, so flashbacks to episode 1, everybody! but like, seeing that, like, I think what you said is one thing I'd really like to see. Like, Rex kind of almost treating himself as like a superhero of like, I'm going to go save any of my brothers who will let me help them. And he'd go and help Wolf and Gregor. Because you go, okay, he's a captain. Wolf was a commander of the 104th. He was the leader of the Wolf Pack, second to Plo Koon, who was an amazing Jedi Master.
Well, also, I'd like
and
to
then,
think...
Gregor. Gregor
well,
was
did,
a
yeah, how did
super commando.
Well, yeah, he was a super commando, but we all thought he died. So, until Rebels, we all thought he died in that one episode with all the droids. And so you're like, okay, maybe did his chip stop working? What would happen to him? Would
right.
he even have to do anything with Order 66? Because we all thought he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, because Sidious is going to call somebody up and be like, execute Order 66 when he has everybody, one either thinks he's dead or he's not with a Jedi. So,
yeah.
you know,
but
how do
you
we...
have to get your whole army to do the same thing.
No, I get that, but like, I want to know how that happened.
Yeah. Well, and it makes sense now, like, if Rex would go, because this is another idea from Star Wars Theory, shout out to him and giving all of the credit back to what he just said. But, like, one thing that I really do enjoy to think about is, like, what if Rex went out and was treating himself kind of like as a hero for his brothers and, like, you know, did that.
Well,
but then
I mean,
also, like, that would make sense why a captain's leading a commander of, like, one of the best legions in the clone army and a super commando. You know, you don't have a private leading a general. You know, so if he's the one who goes and helps them get their inhibitor chips out, no wonder they would listen to his command, because he's been doing this the longest. That'd be really amazing. And I just think that'd be a lot of fun to see transpire. And it could be possible because, you know, LucasArts Animation say that since a lot of people have been loving Clone Wars, they'll make more. I don't know what the quote-unquote more is, whether that's more
it's
Clone
probably
Wars
just another show.
Or another show or something like that. Because, I mean, it's not so much an animated show because they've made Star Wars Resistance, and that's really not that good. And Rebels has fans split on whether they like it or not. And then Clone Wars is just amazing. So, we'll see what they do. It'll be a lot of fun just to kind of see what the possibilities are. Phil, I wonder what your thoughts are on a show of the dark times, kind of like what you're talking about, like having it be like a Darth Vader show, like specifically
yes.
about him.
Well,
would you want it live action? Would you want it like...
I don't know if they're doing that. Yeah, I'd much rather have it be live action. But in terms of that, I don't think they should do a just Darth Vader show, because we kind of got that in Clone Wars.
That's
opinion.
Fair. Yeah.
But,
well, the original song is about him anyway.
But I don't know. I think that'd be kind of cool. Live action would be much better than animation, I think, for that specific. But right after episode three, like as soon as Clone War ends, is what they should do.
Yeah. Well, because we've gotten comic books of like what happened to Darth Vader in the chamber when he first got his suit and what he did after he screamed no, because he like used the Force to literally crush the whole room, and then he fought another Jedi, to get the lightsaber, and so this comic book story obviously happened well before the very end last episode of Clone Wars. So, but I think it'd be really interesting because they had a comic book story arc, like not just comic, graphic novel, like half thick of your of a computer, modem, thick of a Star Wars storyline about a Jedi who survived Order 66 named Dash Jenner, joins a crew of scoundrels, and they go and mess around with the Empire as much as they can. And so they could do something like that. Do I think that's something they should do? Not take it that route, because we've technically gotten something similar to that with the Ghost Crew and Rebels. So like if we do something like that, like it'd be a repeat, and it would start off really, really kid-like, and once they get to the really good stuff, it's just gonna end, kind of like Rebels. That's what Rebels was until probably about I'd argue season two. Like the last episode of season one is good. That's where you want to start, and then season two to season four is pretty solid. But anyway, that's my personal take on it. But anyway, there is that type of a thing, so they could just do kind of like an anthology show where they had different stories. Like this is what Rex was doing. This is what Ahsoka was doing. You could kind of do something similar to The Mandalorian, like
I honestly hope they have. I think it'd be really cool if. I don't know if the characters from the first season from The Mandalorian will come back. I'm assuming they will.
I think Cara Dune would.
But them. There's a. What you call it? A. They released the episode names, and it's like called The Sorcerer or something, which I'm sure
Yeah.
is Ahsoka.
Yep.
Which I think would be cool if they had Rex come in too, and then they did quite a bit of stuff together. I think that would be really
Yeah.
cool.
And, being a Rex fan, I'd like to have him live. Because of after what they did with this whole thing was really, really, really good. But we'll see what they do. I think it'd be really fun to have another animated series called, like Anthologies or The Dark Times, and you just have one character be the main point of each show. Either that, or they do that or in a comic book or something like that, so you can figure out what happened to Rex and Ahsoka right after the ship crashed. What's the name of the planet? Was that Hoth? Is this, because it looked very Hoth-like when they ended
It
it.
looks really similar, but they call it a moon.
And I don't think Hoth is a moon
I don't think so
either.
either.
So, but either way, like it's gonna be really fun to see what they do next, because Dave Filoni said something about Ahsoka. He says, because they're talking to him about both the Mandalorian and the end of Clone Wars, and he's like, "Well, I'm got my mind on Ahsoka in a couple more than just one timeline, a few actually, So that, and I heard a rumor that he was gonna make a TV show about Luke making his Jedi Temple, and so I'm like, well, sure, Ahsoka would show up in that, or
Well,
oh.
yeah, I think what they'll probably do is if they're going to have another animation, they're probably going to do one after episode 6 about Luke building the temple and lead up to episode 7, even though we all would much rather see in between 3 and 4 and between Rebels and Clone Wars, but whatever.
Well, yeah, but I mean, so that was my initial thought, but maybe he is thinking about doing something like this. Maybe the reason why Clone Wars ended the way that it did was because of the fact that, excuse me, the fact that, he was setting up something else for another Ahsoka story. And obviously, if you're going to tell Ahsoka story, Rex is going to show up either beforehand or afterhand. So like, there's all different kinds of things that you can do, and that's the beauty of Star Wars. I watched an interview with George Lucas and Dave Filoni recently, and Dave Filoni says his favorite parts of doing the Clone Wars was the stuff that was just getting in the Star Wars universe. That was something that's never been done before, because that's what felt most like Star Wars. George Lucas chuckled and gave his own opinion, but. That's the difference between the creator and the fan, who has the privilege of creating things in it. But yeah, so like that's something that'll be really cool to see what they do next. Either way, regardless, this episode of Clone Wars was so emotional. It was almost kind of like losing something, like it was a satisfying ending, but I kind of feel satisfied, but having a lot more questions, just like how they ended it with Ahsoka leaving the Jedi Temple. Because if they would have stopped with that and didn't do anything with the sixth season of Clone Wars, people would have had, gone, oh, I wonder what happened to Rex and the other Clone Fives, and, people would not have been nearly as invested in it if they wouldn't have done the five-story arc, and if they wouldn't have done the thing with Yoda. You know, there's a lot of different things that they did in season six that were monumental, but, like, when you end with season five, I remember, well, that sucks, but at least it ended on a good note. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, wait a minute. What about the Mandalorian thing? What happened with Obi-Wan? What happened with that? What happened with this? What happened with that? Like, there were so many questions that were left unanswered, and that's what we got for, golly, what, 5-6 years? You know? Because we were like, yeah, okay, and then we found out in summer of 2018 that, 2019, they were going to do the Disney Plus, and then we found out in 2019, oh, we have to wait till February of 2020 to finally watch the Clone Wars.
Which, honestly, it was worth the wait, man.
It really was.
So good.
It really was, but, that's kind of where we're at with the show and what happened. And just the ideas that they actually were able to put on screen were just amazing, and it was just so satisfactory. And I remember I was talking to a mentor of mine. He said that he really enjoyed the Star Wars movie Rogue One because it was like when he was a kid, he'd watch a war movie with his dad, Like, they had all those old war movies, or, like, even a John Wayne movie or something like that, And I never really could relate to that with Rogue One because I didn't watch war movies when I was growing up. I watched Star Wars. But when you really look at Star Wars as a whole, like when you see Rogue One, yeah, that's a good movie, And I could relate, and he commented how him and his family love the Clone Wars show and so on. But, when I watched this, I felt like I was watching a war movie. And to me, I was more invested because they're my favorite characters and they survive rather than Rogue One. Not that Rogue One's a terrible movie, but, like, just that the characters that they had within Clone Wars and how they finished it was really very satisfactory. Like, it was, and it fit Episode 3 of Revenge of the Sith timeline. Like, it was
very, very, very well done.
It was very well done. It was very sad, very dark, but very good all at the same time, and very, very satisfying. So yeah, I highly recommend it. I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and having Phil on the air. Phil, is there anything else you wanna comment on? Any last few thoughts? Any relation to your faith in regards to what you saw? Or
no, just God bless you guys. Thanks for watching. Keep watching, because Falcon R is going to be kicking ass and taking names for a long time now.
All right. Well, while we're wrapping up, I'll let you do the closing prayer, and we'll go from there.
Father God, we come before your throne in the name of your son, Jesus, and we just want to thank you for the opportunity to do this podcast. Thank you for the ability of George Lucas and Dave Filoni and everybody who worked on the Clone Wars show, since that's what we're talking about. And we thank you for the joy it's brought so many of us from the time you were kids to the time we're adults. And we thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful times we had watching the show, talking about the show, learning from the show, all the different cool things, not only about Star Wars, but about life. I mean, really, you can learn a lot of things from that. And we just thank you, Lord, for the ability for us to sit down and talk, and even during this time of quarantine and change, that you bless us and keep us safe, and bless us with your peace and your joy, and keep us safe, and plead Psalm 91 and Isaiah 53, everyone watching, and just keep us all safe from this coronavirus, and we take command and authority over it and ask you to remove it from the world in Jesus' name.
Yes.
That we can all go back to our normal lives and go watch Star Wars movies in theaters. And we thank you, Lord, for your peace, your joy, and that we can all sleep in peace during this time of transition and change. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing us with peace, not fear, and that our faith can grow and we can spend more time with you during this time, because there's not much else to do. We thank you, Lord, that you get the glory, and we thank you for an amazing show that we were able to learn so much from and really enjoy. In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
Amen. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in on this very special edition, possibly the only Monday edition of the Drock Side. Have a great rest of your days or your evenings or whatever time zone you're in. And remember that Jesus loves you.